And you know, I want to tell you, yes, I studied communications. Yes, I'm learning all my life. You know, yes, I'm missionary for many years. And it means nothing. It really means nothing, unless Holy Spirit will speak to you, and you will hear from Him. What I say means nothing. But before I will speak generally, I will pick up on my brother, what my brother said, and I'll say that, you know, it doesn't matter whether it will be fun or not. It is not important whether you will enjoy my talk. The goal of communications is not entertainment, in my, you know, understanding or definition of it. Do you understand me? Is my accent okay for you? You'll get used to it, you know, after a while. Okay. So the goal of communication generally is quest for meaning. So if you have, for example, argument with your wife or your wife with you, which is the same thing, you know, quest for meaning is like a turbo in the fast car, you know, argument. If you take it right, it'll speed up. She'll just blow out everything, you know, and you will get hit by this, you know. But then, you know, the energy will equalize and you will understand her. She will understand you. It's okay. Quest for meaning. I want the meaning to be conveyed to you. It's not so easy because I'm fighting against many things. I'm fighting against your own presupposed ideas. I'm fighting about with your hearing it all before. You know what I mean? I'm fighting with, wow, great people speaking from that same place, and you compare me to others, you know. I'm fighting with the Polak jokes. You know, many things. But, you know, I hope I'm not fighting with the Holy Spirit. That's why my notes are not exact notes. I have a subject. But I am sharing with you already because you supposed to make disciples. It's not for the professionals, guys. It's for all of us. When Lord Jesus was leaving his testimony or last, like, commission, you know, he said, go and make disciples to 12 of them or to at least, like, about 500, to all of them who was hearing him. And then he went upwards. You know what I mean? So I'm sharing about communication because you're supposed to communicate to others what you will hear from me. And I want to share with you something what I shared with my dear sister, a teacher, this morning. I share with you how little probably you will get from my speaking. Okay? Because I am communicating the least effective way I can, unless Holy Spirit will help me. You know, the lecture leaves with you in your memory only 5% of what you heard. In 2 hours, when I will ask you, what was the speaking about, what this Wiesiek Stebnicki spoke about, you'll go, yeah, that was unusual. He had some accent. He was kind of bald-headed. But what did he speak about? Let me think. About 5%. Okay? And this is how they teach us in schools. And usually only 4% stayed in a student after he finishes the school, high school or whatever. 4-5% maximum. So the other thing is reading. If you would read what I said, you would get 10%. And now if I would have audiovisual stuff, you will get more. You will get 20%. But it's still only 20%. You know what I mean? You lose 80. Now, if I give you demonstration, for example, I would take off my clothes and put some different clothes, and you know, I would take two people and they would just do something for you, you would get 30%, but still lose 70. See, I'm telling to you this so you will do the right thing with learning and teaching others, yes? Because you need to teach. If you're a parent, you need to teach your children. If you're a grandfather, father or mother, you will teach your grandchildren. If you are just a friend, you will share with your friend. And you want to be effective in making disciples, yes? So this is not my subject, but it's just like introduction, because I want to get your attention, and I want to be effective. My desire is change. It's not to make it fun, you know, or even interesting. I want you to be changed after what I will say, and I'm just introducing a little bit, you know. So discussion. I need you. I need your feedback. 50%. That's a lot. Actually, the highest schools and the best schools, the elite schools, use discussion a lot. Small groups, professor, several students. You know, 50% left. So, practical doing it. Guess how many percent? 60? 75%. That was close. 75%! So you retain much more than you lose. You lose only 25%, yeah? Now listen to this. And I'm going to tell you what to do to get 90%. Teaching of others, 90%. Now, if you make notes right now, yes? Even mental notes, because you are not used to, you know, you are out of school, but really we are all disciples, you know. If you make notes with the purpose, this is the simplistic thing, with the purpose of teaching yourself, you make notes for yourself, actually, and you use them, yes, you still retain 90%. But if you make just notes, then you lose quite a little bit. But if you make notes to teach yourself, and this is the minimal, because yourself is just yourself, but for somebody else, you will retain 90% when you teach. Guys, this is big. It's good to know. And why schools are run the way they are, why the churches are run the way they are, knowing this, do I need to give you the answer? That's a good question. So, I titled it, you know, entering the peace, what I'm going to say, you know, entering the peace. But really, it's going to be much more of it, much more, entering much more than just peace. In our changing world, in our situation where you have how do you call them, liberals. I met some, I thought, you know what is the goal of liberals? They want to destroy everything what is good. They want to destroy everything what have value, valueless society, yes? They want to, destroy standards, you know? No good, no bad, you know? This is just victim or sick person, you know? They want to destroy, for example, standards of beauty, you know? Some of the modern art is just like I want to puke looking at it, you know what I mean? Human excrements. Frozen, supposed to be beautiful. Oh, please. I flush it down each time. And don't behold it, for sure. You know, there's this cult of non-discrimination today. That's liberalism, non-discrimination. But, you know, think about this. Rationalism, and we are called to think. The Bible says to use your mind, yeah? Rationalism calls for discrimination. This is good, this is bad. This person is wrong, this person is right. I made mistakes. Now I didn't make mistakes. Discrimination is this good thing. But they make you a bigot. They make you a racist or something like this. Because you have some categories. And without categories, I'll tell you why they do that. Because it's insane. What's happening, but they have a reason. And so, to destroy this racism or bigotry, they destroy rationalism. Okay. They want to destroy anything what have value, anything what is worth of anything, in order that there will be nothing to worth fighting for. You know what I mean?
So what?
That's the useful saying among young people. So what? I mean, so what? I mean, what is so what? It's not logical, it's not nothing, you know what I mean? But so what? What does it change? Well, I want to put some meaning today in your mind, even to suffering. And I need to fight with these things, because they are projected in television and in everywhere, you know? So the scripture that we read today was, and the most important part of it, let me get my, those are not notes. I have a notebook here, and the notebook is from my quiet times, those are not notes. God spoke to me the 28th of this month. He gave me a little revelation I want to share with you. And it's from the, of course I read Polish Bible, but Galatians 5, 16, 17. Let me read it again. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. And it goes like this. For the flesh lusteth, and remember we talk about entering the peace. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit. Okay? Now, already from this we know that we have dual creation. We are like two parts of us, yeah? We know that. Even from this little bit. Okay. Lusteth against the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other. I mean, this is spoken very strongly about the struggle internal, in you and in me. Okay? So that he cannot do the things that he would. Okay. So there is this writing about the struggle, about the fight, the spirit against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. And what is flesh? Well, flesh is opposite to the spirit, simply speaking. It's antonym of the spirit. So flesh is all this organoleptical stuff. The lust of eyes. I want to lick something. I want to kiss somebody. I want to, let's say, put my hands on something. I want to eat something. This is all organoleptical. Touch, see, taste, smell. I spoke with a blind man who is a Christian. I said, oh, at least you are not tempted by eyes. He have no eyes anymore. They took it out, He have glassy eyes, and when he looks at you, it's just so weird, Beautiful blue, but, we're just like dead, and he looks at you, and he don't see you, but you look in the eyes, in the fake glassy eyes, it's strange. And he goes, oh, you don't understand. The voice. Some of the voice, oh, it's so tempting. It's so tempting. You know what I mean? So we have all of this, and if we are run by this, the results will be very terrible in our life. And, the society is saying, if it feels good, do it. Feels, that smells, touches, tastes, feels, Now, there is something in us that don't want it. It's called spirit. And, to be led by the spirit means to do things that you don't want to do, accordingly to what is written here. So you would do things that you don't want to do. That is incredible if you think about that. If you are led by the Spirit, you will do things that you don't want to do. Now, this struggle is explained in Romans, and that would be Romans 7, 19. For the good that I would, I do not. The good that he would like to do, he's not doing. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, this is the situation when he's led by the so-called flesh, yeah? And he goes like, oh, please. You know, what's going on with me? And it's written a little farther. I find, 21, then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. And you know, and it's, okay, 23, I see another law in my members, warring, again warring, inside of you there is a war. Against the law in my mind. That's a key thing. Mind, in your mind. The war is in, you know, the good, your mind wants good things. Did you see the movie, List of Schindler or Schindler's List? Yes? Okay, where's the situation? I think this is the movie. You know, where is this main guy from this, the director, but he's a soldier, from the prison camp, you know, concentration camp. And Schindler comes to him and he's doing the game. He's going, listen, guy. And he's pretending that, you know, it's just kind of matter of fact. He don't care for the Jews or for the people, the prisoners there. You know, he goes, listen, this is easy. You know, I mean, everybody can be cruel and just kill people. But, you know, the old, I think he used this Romans, you know, they was just benevolent. They knew how to forgive, you know. And the German guy listened to him, and both are German, really. But, you know, I mean, the Nazis, you know, the Hitler guy, he's Hitler's guy, he's listening to him, and he's thinking in, you know, to be noble, to be beautiful, to have a great heart, you know. And the next thing is that Schindler leaves, and there is a boy who's supposed to wash bathtub, you know, he's a prisoner, bathtub for the director, for the captain or general, whatever, you know. And he cannot do it. He's really, you know, and the general goes, did you use the chemical that I have here to wash it? And the boy, you know, no, I didn't. But he really tried his best. So he's sure that the general will kill him. But he, remembering what Schindler told him, you know, he goes, I forgive you. You may live, you know. And he feels like a, you know, Roman empire. You know, I feel I'm so noble, you know. I'm so noble. I would like to do good, and I'm doing it. You know, I'm so special. Go. And the boy cannot believe. He didn't shoot me, you know. He didn't shoot me. So he leaves, and, you know, he feels good, and he looks through the window, and looks at the boy going towards the barracks, you know, of the camp. And suddenly he's looking at his fingernails, and there is some dirt. And he realizes that he cannot take bath. And he forgets about all this goodness that he wished to do. He takes a gun and shoots the boy. There is this thing that we would like to be good. We would like to do good things. Everybody in the world would like to be noble and beautiful and clean and you know, great and loving. But we live in this selfishness built in our members. You know what I mean? All the desires or the appetites, all this called flesh. And there is this fight. You know, and how do you win with this? Well, especially in society which tells you, hey, borrow money now, buy it immediately, pay later. You know what I mean? You know, if you obey flesh, it will show. You know, with all due respect of people who have a little bit too much of pounds, okay, here. But you know, the first thing you see in America, you know, I remember just like 3 years ago when I landed in Miami, Florida, I've seen this picture and I still remember this, you know. This very overweight black woman pushing another overweight lady in the special stroller. You know, you have them in airports, you know. It's just like, both of them, you know. It shows when you sow to the flesh, you know what I mean? You don't regulate. It's a weird sound, but doesn't bother you? No, okay. You don't regulate. You don't regulate yourself rightly. But the spirit is working on the fact that you don't do things that you wish to do. Like, for example, I was diagnosed just recently with a very serious two sicknesses, you know. And I hardly noticed them because I kind of take care for myself. And my son was diagnosed with this multiple sclerosis. You know, he's 19. That was just 3 weeks ago. But you see, the thing is that immediately my dear researching wife, you know, found the best natural allopathic in the States, and you know, and we went there and we have this diet. It's called Road to Health. And I have opportunity to practice strengthening of my Christian character. Just simply, and that will help me to be led by the Spirit. Simply speaking, character is the invisible muscle, moral muscle, that you train only when you say, no, 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 and the muscle grows. You don't see it, but you see it in decisions. You see it in the results. You know what I mean? And if you say, yes, yes, you know what I mean? You see it in results too. And please don't take me wrong. I am not saying anything against weight, you know. I love my wife. She was overweight all her life and she had good excuse. She was breastfeeding or pregnant for very many years. Almost I hardly remember that she was not breastfeeding or pregnant, you know, because she was breastfeeding for so long and then immediately pregnant, you know. It was many years, you know, and she always had good excuse to be like Rembrandt, you know Rembrandt? He used to paint beautiful women, you know, very nice, lots of them, you know, on the pictures. And I love my wife the way she is, you know, big. And now she's much smaller, still love her. Kind of miss the big, you know, but that's okay. You know, so don't take me wrong, but I'm using this as an example, you know what I mean? And it's just incredible example because you can train yourself every day saying, no, I don't need so much. No, this is terrible thing for me, you know, and I must do that. So those are so-called God's loving restrictions. You are sick, certain way, you know, God's loving restriction. You lost something, God's loving restriction. You know, the meaning in life that helps our spirituality is in suffering, in passage of time, in getting old, in sometimes in losing somebody, in going away from my family that I love so much and going to the mission field for 2.5 months. Thank God, only 2.5 months, not like 6 months for the last several years. But you know, let's say somebody is dying and he have only 2 days. He would give anything. He would give anything, you know what I mean? To extend it. Just a few more days. Anything, because the value of this is growing while it's shorter, you know? One of the classics of Russia. Well, he was Christian. I forgot his name. He'll come back to me. Before he was Christian, he was activist against czars. And he was waiting for his execution. He'll come back to me. He wrote some very famous books that you heard about. What's his name? Dostoevsky, no, the other guy, the... Not Solzhenitsyn, no. Okay, it doesn't matter. But he's waiting, and he they are some friends there, and he's going to be shot or hanged. It doesn't matter. And he have executed, and he kind of counted that he have like 15 minutes. So he made plan for the last 15 minutes. You know, he thought for 5 minutes, I'll be with my family. You know, who is here. For the other 5 minutes, I'll just think about my life. And the last 5 minutes, I'll just really look deep in sky and look at the world for the last time. And then he realized, and he wrote in one of his books this, how much is 15 minutes? How much you can do with 15 minutes? And at the last moment, the pardon came. You know, the Tsar said, okay, let him go, you know. And then he's writing, And I had not only minutes, days. I had not only days, weeks. I had not only weeks, months and years. And I wasted so much of them. Because suddenly they didn't become valuable and precious. See, the preciousness comes from passage, from changes, from losing. Preciousness of health is present only in sickness. You know what I mean? When you in the face of sickness. It's just like, how much would you give if your head is hurting to just have no more headaches? For example, I had this accident, not the last time, but before, when I was with a drug addict, and he stayed in my home, and he was like 30 years old guy, then 28, and he jumped in my car in a van and started driving like crazy. So I jumped. I don't know what I meant. You know, I thought that I would stop the car or something. You know, there was a Volkswagen, you know, for 8 people, and it had this big bumper in the back. So I jumped on the bumper and held to the windshield, you know, and I said, stop. And he just, ha, ha, ha. He drank like 9 beers, you know, and he was driving, and then he slowed down. He speeded up, but he pulled the handbrake, and then he let go the handbrake on a curve, and he shook me off. And I hit my head, and, you know, I was just like falling down for 4 days, like falling, horrible feeling of falling down. I lost my smell. Right now when I talk to you, I hear ringing in my head, and it was well over a year ago. You know what I mean? All the time ringing. Is this, I would give a lot to be able to just have quiet in head. You know what I mean? But listen, suffering is your friend towards spirituality. I know we are in America. I know everything is saying, take a pill. Get rid of the uncomfortable, not convenient presence of your sick grandparent or father. Send him, you know, somewhere else. You know, but the Bible says that heart is good in house of sadness. It's not haughty anymore. You know what I mean? You develop sense of feeling for the suffering people, sense of compassion, common passion. Not just escape from it, embrace it. It's okay. It's okay. Life is the way it was designed, with pain, with passage, with the children leaving home and then you're just empty nest or something, you know what I mean? It's just like that. And together, all together, works for good for you. There's great meaning in it. Don't escape from it. It's okay. I know it sounds terrible, but suffering sounds terrible, but it's not bad. You know, there was this, here in the States, there was this very rich people who had a daughter. She was about a little more than a year, maybe a year, and they had white snow carpets. No, made their cleaning person there so they could afford white, you know. And you know, the mother comes and the girl is sitting down, of course sitting, but I don't know if she was walking, and she's painting with red marker on the carpet. But there is no red marker. She bit off the end of her finger. Then the mother found out that she have no pain receptors. So she said, oh, nice. We need pain. Pain is a signal. It's getting attention. Something is wrong. And also, it's God's loving restriction. Drunkards are drunkards only until their liver gives out. You know what I mean? Can you imagine? And God even shortened our life. Can you imagine pervert who lives for 800 years? I mean, that is calling for flood. You know what I mean? That's a big thing. God restricted us. It's okay. Life is the way it should be. Let's embrace it the way it is, because it's working goodness in us. And if you agree with this, you will enter peace. I'm not calling you to passiveness. No, not passiveness. But God, it is well with my soul. You know this song better than me. When is it well with my soul? When everything is paid off, when the there's plenty of jobs and stability and stuff like this, when the government is godly. No, listen to the song. In spite of this and that, it is well in my soul. You know that Chinese Christians who understand these principles, they pray for America that the prosperity would go away. But because they understand these principles, lots of the wealth of America is traveling there. So some of it will be inherited by the Christians, which know what to do about it, not to spend it on themselves. You're getting this? It is okay. It is okay when situation is hard. Hard is not bad. Hard is good. You see, when I remember some movies about the Boof Camp, and I was in army, you know, but the more dangerous missions the soldiers are prepared for, the harder training, you know. And this poor guy comes in and we shaved his head off, you know, and the surgeon goes like, "You will do what I tell you! You must do what I tell you! You don't change it!" And this poor guy is just like receiving all this saliva on his face, feeling all this bad breath of the surgeon, you know. And the surgeon loves him. He wants this guy to learn to function under great stress and still do the task. Will you function well, not thinking about yourself, but thinking about opportunities during hard times? You know, I have several kids which are really sick. I am very hospitable. I have millions of guests in my blood, you know. American malaria sounds good, you know, I don't know. I have Lyme disease from Europe. Well, I travel. They travel with me. You know what I mean? And it's okay. My son is 19. He gets shakes, you know. He loses his balance, you know. 19. Great athlete until recently. You know what I mean? Now. But he was mouthy. But he was not very polite. He was kind of haughty. You know how much changed when he found out about this? So-called multiple sclerosis, which really is not multiple sclerosis, because nobody knows what is multiple sclerosis, because multiple sclerosis means in Latin actually many scars. This is all they know about it. But when they check, they find also the Lyme disease in the brain, you know, of the people who die, you know, in the autopsy. That's all they know. We'll kill these guys. We'll go through this process. But it's for good. It's for good. Listen, this is all for good. At the end of the day, we don't live for this life. Do you live for this life? You're just lost because you'll lose this life sooner or later. We must look at things from the eternal point of view. Guys, does it make sense? It makes sense only then. Otherwise, one of the disciples of Jesus is saying, if there is no resurrection, I'm the most miserable guy on the planet. You know? I'm led by the Spirit and it will not do nothing to me. But then, just think about that. As a result of living without any, living by impulses of our desires and things like this, we get what? We got all the things like adultery, look around. Fornication, look around. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness, whatever it is, you know, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such. Listen, look at the news. Look at the newspapers. And it's written, why is it so? Now, what do you prefer? You prefer this, yeah? You prefer to be a person like this, which enters somebody's home and carries this inside of you? Or do you prefer, where are the good things? It's somewhere. All the fruits of the Holy Spirit, where are they? 22 in 7, yeah? Okay. Love. Okay, let's go. Love, joy, peace. But also long suffering. That means suffering for long and enduring it well. But it's in the positive. It's in the positive. Guys, I know it's not popular what I'm saying, but it really is life. It's the full package. You'll not have the others without having this one. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You want the it or you want the previous, the former? Which one do you want? And it's written how to get it. To be led by the Spirit. Now, how are you led by the Spirit, practically speaking? You do things that you don't want to do. For example, I ate apple, lettuce, what was it? You know, the long one, the red. What? Carrot, you know, and some olive oil, pepper, and these things, you know. I barely could chew on it before we needed to leave. You know, I stay with the pastor's family, you know what I mean? And I just, it took me so long, you know. I made the Russian salad, you know, big pieces of everything, you know. And they serve in hotels, even whole apple, whole pear with nice knives and whole vegetables, you know, in nice hotels too. And you prepare your salad from the beginning over there. So that's in Russia. You know, so I got it the Russian way. And then, you know, but I really wanted this wonderful donuts. So I did what I didn't want to do. I was led by the Spirit. The result, I feel really good. You know what I mean? I feel really good. How do you want to feel? Well, it's not the feeling's sake. Because the most important thing that I have in my life is braiding with God. Let me explain to you. And I think we need to finish at 12, yeah? So it's just perfect. I used to enjoy my mornings in Poland when I was there and I'm returning. The routine was like this. I woke up. I took cold shower. I like cold shower because I still am waking up. Then I made coffee. That's still about waking up. And then I sat down and I read Bible. That was my best time, you know, I have certain way of entering the Bible, and this is not the place to share this. But, I love this. But for years, I had this dilemma. What do I like more, coffee or Bible? You know, and I kind of, the devil was playing with my mind, you know, because I really needed this coffee with the Bible. And then I went to South Africa. I was invited to one of the schools in the South Africa, the Bible schools. And this guy, the director, was speaking about the scripture. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not get weary. They shall, you know, glide like eagles. And I was thinking, wait upon the Lord? I mean, that means what, like a waitress? That is hard work. Hard work, we spoke about it. And then maybe wait like for a train or in a you know, airport, like you have 3 hours delayed and there is nothing else. You looked through all these magazines, there's nothing there, you know. And you're just like, please, 3 hours. It's like 3 weeks. I don't feel renewed after this. But the word, it should be with the Lord. And the word in original means kava. It should be those who kava, K-A-W-V-A. Kava, K-A-W-V-A. With the Lord, it should be, yeah? And the word kava just happened in Polish means coffee. It's the identical kava, you know, I take my kava, you know, in the morning, you know, it's just kava, you know, just like that's the word for coffee, you know. So this, that got my attention when this guy spoke in South Africa. And then I go, I listen, and then he explains. Kava in the original language means braid. Braid, like I'm braiding, you know, little weak hair. This from this blonde sister, you know, her head, you know, and I braid it with a rope like this. Actually, I have rope like this in my home in Poland. This thick rope, can you imagine? For big ships to be, you know, hooked or hinged, you know, to the land, you know. Big, thick rope. And I can braid with this, you know, this one hair. And then in order to break this hair, I need to break the whole rope, which is just almost impossible, you know what I mean? But if you are braided with the Lord, it's different. It's different. You see your suffering differently. Led by the Spirit means be braided with the Lord. To get by the impulses by the Spirit. To do things that you don't want to do. About which you know they are not good for you. And you know they are not good for you. You know. You know, you want to watch TV because you have this muscle memory. You know, you come in and this muscle from this thumb have this memory that you need to click something. You know. Give up this muscle memory. Go by the impulse of the Spirit, you know. Which says, okay, prepare the meal for kids. Or something else, you know, whatever it is, practically speaking. He will tell you, if you fulfill your moral obligations, you will not have time for sinning. There is enough of this. Believe me, just do your duty. You know what I mean? Simple. Do the obvious that you're supposed to do, and you will not do things that you want to do. And it will build your character. That means that this invisible moral muscle will be strong. It will be more natural for you to be led by the Spirit. But in America, it's not easy. See, when I left Poland, the newspaper was basically, when you opened it, was one huge page. That was it. One line of funnies, two television programs, you know, when I was leaving. And I moved to America, and Chicago Tribune in Saturday had 160 pages with the inserts. You know what I mean? I thumbed through it. It took me half of an hour, and I came to a conclusion. In Poland, I had the right to know. And I exercised it. I listened to the illegal radio programs, you know, from the West called Radio Free Europe, you know, and we listened to it, and I was like, because the Russians was trying to disturb the reception, you know, but you heard this, you know, a little bit of the truth, you know, about what's going on in the world. I had the right to know. But I have here, and I need to fight for it very hard in America, the right to not know. I don't need to know that somebody raped somebody. And they multiply it million and million times in the news. I don't need to concentrate on these things that these people, these social engineers are trying to, you know, insert in me. I need to be quiet before God. I need to do the last command, like in the army. You don't hear from God sometimes because you didn't do the last thing. You already heard from Him. Does it make sense? Makes sense, I hope. And this is how I live. This is how I cope. Guys, this is full package. Life's supposed to be hard. If it was hard for Jesus, why do you expect it'll be easy for you? You're better? You know what I mean? And it was good life. It was the best life. It was a rich life. And full of pain and oh, unbelieving generation. You know what I mean? But still, we should emulate Him. And it's okay. It is good. Because the results are joy, love, peace. The hippie wanted to find it, they didn't. I see them over there in northwest, you know. Ay, ay, ay. 70, more than 70 years old, no teeth almost, still bandana, still long hair, but much less, you know, still going like that. Still didn't find the peace and joy. He found some kind of stupor, you know what I mean? And we want to be sound-minded and by choice, rejoicing. And if you are braided with the Lord, you will enter the peace. You will enter His peace. That's the way to enter the peace. I really encourage you guys to listen to it somehow. Again, make notes for yourself, slow down, and really teach yourself what I shared with you. Then I would be very thankful to Holy Spirit that the goal of communications, that means change. Yes? Change. No fun. No, you know, entertainment. Change towards godliness happened in you. And I pray to God that would be the result. Amen.